Good morning on a Tuesday. We've got the two grand slam coming up at 7:25. Your chance to win $2,000. Lions head coach Dan Campbell, 8:02 this morning. As we reflect on their loss over the weekend, as you take a deep breath, what's your biggest concern? What's your concern level on a scale of 1 to 10? 1 being no concerns, no doubts, still a Super Bowl team. 10 being I am regressing all the way back to a three-letter acronym. John, I woke up today and I realized, like, I'm very upset that they lost.
Yeah.
I hate how they lost. I hate that it's an NFC opponent. I hate that they had a chance to grab the mantle in the NFC this week with the Niners losing and the Eagles losing and the Cowboys losing. But I don't have this big concern with this football team. As I reflect on it, I think the defense has shown me more than I thought two games into the season. Offensively, I think they still have the personnel. They still have the coaching staff. They're going to be just fine offensively. I don't have this big overarching concern. I'm probably a 2 out of 10 on the concern level. What's your number?
Can I go 1.5?
You can do whatever you want, buddy.
I'll go 1.5 because I was going to say 1, but I mean, because this is the NFL, right? You're going to lose some games. You're not going to be perfect every single time. And it's been disappointing because it feels like the offense has sputtered, hasn't found the rhythm that we thought it would coming out of the gates against the Rams. But then, you know, week 2 against Tampa, again, you're sputtering a little bit. But like you said, it is same coaching staff. It is in large part same players, improved players. And I just think Ben Johnson has to get into his rhythm of calling this year's team. The strengths, the weaknesses, all of it's going to be different, even if the personnel is the same. You're going to have some things this year that you're doing a little bit better than you did last year, and some things that maybe have fallen off and you're disappointed, but you've got to shift and call the things that are going well. Keep working on those other things. I think the other concern that I have is, and some of it does go to play calling, the offensive line hasn't performed as I expected. They're still a damn good offensive line. I'm not going to sit here and throw them under the bus, but I need to see more from the interior three. There has been some push in the pocket against Jared Goff that I didn't expect to see. Running the ball, and this is where it goes to play calling. The asset that you have, the top asset, is being able to run the football. We saw it in overtime against the Rams. You line up, mano y mano, I'll take this offensive line against any defensive front, and you pair that against any offensive line and their performance. I love this offensive line. In terms of pass protecting, if you pass protect 55 times in a game and I'm on the offensive line, I that's a miserable day. It is not fun. That is the least fun day you could have in the NFL. And so they weren't put in a position to be successful. On top of that, I thought Ben Johnson missed identifying the weakness of the other team. Now, if Vita Vea is in there, which he was at the beginning of the game, hey, I don't particularly want to run between the guards. I might not even want to run between the tackles. Mm-hmm. But as soon as he's out, now, hey, left lane hammer down, let's go. Right down the middle.
People giving their concerns on the ticket text, 248-539-9797. Lions have too many weapons, and Ben Johnson doesn't know what to do with all of them. Well, the first part of that is not a problem. There's no such thing as too many weapons.
But you do have to figure out how to call for it.
The second part is something valid. Ticket texter says, I'm worried about coaching. They completely abandoned the run game. That is their strength. Goff throwing it 50 times or more is a recipe for losing. The O-line has been concerning. The interior guys are giving up too much pressure. John, right out of what you said. My only concern is the Lions are too caught up on keeping everybody happy in the offense instead of just running the offense and letting it take care of itself.
Yeah, like I had mentioned earlier, okay, I don't want to say you forced the ball to J-Mo. That's been nice. But then it feels like you're forcing the ball to Amon-Ra St. Brown just because he didn't have enough touches in the first game. And now we've been asking, you know, where is Sam Laporta? If you force the ball, if you force feed him against Arizona, and it causes you to not operate at optimum efficiency as an offense, then I have a problem with that. I don't think you should force the ball to any guy when you have multiple weapons. If Amon-Ra St. Brown is your only weapon, okay, force feed him.
Yep.
That's how you get your offense going. That's your playmaker. But that's not the case right now. You have multiple dynamic weapons.
Some ticket texters who aren't concerned. This one says, I don't have any worries. I'm a one. We played like crap against two playoff teams, came out of it 1-1, and clearly looked better than both of them. The defense was a concern, but they look solid. We know the offense will get going. We're a better team than a year ago. Ticket texter gives them a 3, and this is the explanation. Says, a lot of guys on offense got paid last winter. The head coach is doing personal injury and casual dining commercials. I'm not worried yet, but I'm suspicious. Give me a 3 out of 10 on the concern.
I don't buy into the, oh, he's doing commercials and he's not focused on his job. Or guys got paid and they're not working as hard. I don't buy into that at all.
Texter says, for me, it's a 7 and will remain a 7 until Goff is benched. Hooker is the future. They should move on stop and start. It. This is a real text.
Stop it. Did they sign it?
You want me to give you their phone number and you can call them?
They sign it?
No, they didn't.
Yeah, figures. Grow a pair and sign it.
9 on a scale of 1 to 10. 9, I'm on the brink of SOL. This is going to be a rough year. Hype is too much for them. Won't win the division. Might miss the wild card. Signed, Mike.
Well, at least he signed it.
Put his name on it. I'm concerned. 9 out of 10. The Lions paid a physically limited quarterback $50 million a year. He's been outplayed badly twice in 2 weeks, and everyone's bending over backwards to make excuses for him. That's not good going forward.
I don't think there's anybody making excuses for him. I mean, you could make an excuse for the first interception Sunday.
There was interference.
J-Mo got knocked off his route, and it's a timing route. A lot of times you're going to throw it to a spot, and you're expecting your guy to be there before he even comes out of a break. And he gets knocked off of that route, which was a penalty not called. It can lead to an interception, which it did. The second interception is inexcusable. There's no excuse.
So can you break it down for me? Because as a layman, I'm watching that going, Patrick had to have run the wrong route? Or how does the quarterback, how do they not on the same page there? Because Goff threw it where there was no Lion.
Right.
There were 3 Buccaneers layered in that middle of the defense. Goff was under pressure. Looked like to me he just said, all right, I'm going to cut it loose early. My guy's going to be breaking in.
Yeah.
And he didn't break in.
To me, it's a different page. They read the defense differently. And well, one guy was breaking out, one guy was breaking in. And this is where not having Josh Reynolds and the relationship that sometimes I just need to see it the same way my quarterback does. And you would think, okay, well, it should be black and white. There should be no gray area. Well, when disguised coverages happen and there's going to be some gray area, but when you've worked with an individual long enough on both sides, you see it as Josh Reynolds sees it, and Josh Reynolds sees it as Jared Goff does. Now, all of a sudden, you change one of those components, and he is running exactly what is supposed to be run, how he sees it, but Jared Goff doesn't have that relationship yet with him. And there might have been a look that at the line of scrimmage, Jared Goff gives Josh Reynolds, and you know what that look means. Tim has no idea.
Yeah, when you bring in a new face, you just don't have that rapport. And he may have been right, but it might not be what Goff prefers to have happen when they get that kind of coverage look. Ticket texters with their opinions. 248-539-9797. You guys can jump in on the phones as well. We asked you on a scale of 1 to 10, your concern with this football team. We got a lot of frustrations out on the phones yesterday. It's a bad loss. But the concerns that I have and that John has, they're minimal. We're a 1.5 or a 2 out of 10 on the concern meter. You guys have different thoughts. Ticket texter says, concern is a 3 or a 4. Goff needs to lead. Arnold needs to play like an NFL player and not a college player. Johnson and Campbell need better play calling and game decisions. Says, we will get it right. That's Steve in Mount Clemens, and also adds, go Tigers.
Yeah, go Tigers. Game and a half back.
7:35, we'll get into the Tigers.
Yeah. Tyrion Arnold, there's a learning curve. Okay, 4 penalties in 2 games, not great. I thought the first pass interference was ticky-tack, and I just felt like if that's the way, it could have been called a penalty, sure, it was. Could they not have called it and it'd been just fine? Yes. if that's the way they were going to call it, I thought they just needed to be consistent throughout the game. I am big about officials. I'm not going to bitch and moan about calls that they make in the first quarter. As long as they are consistent in that call and how they, you know, referee certain calls, whether it's pass interference, it's holding, there's a lot of different things. You can use some discretion, but it needs to be consistent throughout the game. And that's where I thought the officiating was bad. They just weren't consistent with how they called pass interference.
John, second ticket text. Hooker should be starting. Signed, Ben.
Oh.
Put his name on it. But we have ticket texter on ticket texter crime because another person says, whoever said they need to bench Goff needs to leave the state.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I mean you're allowed your own opinion. But we are allowed to say it's a dumb one.
It'd have to get a lot worse for me to get there. And you guys know I haven't been Goff's biggest fan, but I am nowhere near that red button to panic and make a quarterback change two games in for a team that has all the personnel returning from an NFC title team a year ago. And the team was in the NFC title game. They're every bit good enough to win a Super Bowl. I'm not doing something squirrely 2 weeks in. Deep breath. All right, we have the two Grand Slam coming up. Heather's News, Dan Campbell at 8:02. And yes, we're going to get to the Tigers, 7:35. It's happening. It's 97.1.
Got a new roof last fall, used Rapid Roofing. Mike Beattie and his team came out, and from start to finish, it was professional. Loved the estimate, checked it out. It wasn't a high-pressure sales event. And they came in one day, replaced the roof, cleaned everything up, and were gone. They've got flexible financing options. They are able to offer extensive manufacturer-based backed warranty options due to their good standing and reputation with the GAF. I mean, I could go down a list of attributes that Rapid Roofing has, but the number one thing is, hey, it was a great experience for me, and it's a big ticket, but I didn't mind paying it simply because it was professional and I trusted them. They're protecting my house. Rapid Roofing, you can give them a call at 888-360-ROOF, 888-360-ROOF, or you can find them on the web at rapidroofing.com.
Before the two Grand Slam, Heather in the News.
Oh, well, this is interesting. I've got some conflicting stories going on that I've been trying to figure out because Warren police are investigating after there was an altercation on a football field at a varsity high school game in Macomb County. So some stories are saying that a parent attacked this varsity coach. And other stories are saying, no, it was actually the varsity high school coach that attacked the parent on the sideline. And the more I'm looking at it, the more it seems like it was the coach that attacked the parent. However, the parent did get out of the stands and walk onto the field and had some words for the coach. So the attack took place during a game between Warren Woods Tower High School and Lakeshore High School. And there's video. So I've been watching the video. I just don't know who I'm watching, right?
Like, right.
I don't know who any of these people are. Right, exactly. Yeah. But there is video that shows a parent from the bleachers walking to the sideline, to the field. And then a man walks up to whether it's the parent or this assistant coach from Lakeshore and just punches him right in the head. And whoever got punched went down onto the field, and then players, other coaches jump in and try to restrain the puncher.
Yeah.
Right? I don't know exactly who it is. I'm thinking now it might be the coach because the coach has been identified as Rob McFarlane. I did read his statement, and he basically said that he was acting to defend the players,
right,
the staff, everyone there. That's why
you thought there was a threat.
Yeah, which would make me believe that he was the one that did the punching, right? Who knows? Either way, the coach was fired. He is no longer allowed to attend any events at the high school, as well as that parent. That parent has been banned as well from attending any of these high school events. Mm. It's sad to see either way. Yeah. Whoever it was, happen at any sporting event, but it should definitely not happen at a youth sporting event for sure. Detroit police have confirmed that the second victim of the shooting at Eastern Market over the weekend has died from their injuries. Now, one of the victims was identified as 40-year-old Rayshon Palmer, and he leaves behind two sons and two daughters. Witnesses say that this guy wasn't even involved in the fight in the first place. He was attempting to stop the fight when he was shot. His family has set up a GoFundMe to not only help the children, but also now for funeral costs. The second victim has not been identified, but is described as a man in his 20s. This is a pretty crazy story. An 8-year-old girl from Ohio was reported missing on Sunday morning. Parents couldn't find her, hadn't seen her for a couple of hours, right? Well, it turns out this little girl was quite busy. So she got in the family's SUV and she drove off. And she drove about 12 miles, which would have been about a 20-minute drive across different highways, different types of roads.
How old is she again?
Eight.
She went to Target, you guys, and she was found in the Target Starbucks drinking a Frappuccino.
She was just thirsty.
Well, and also,
she needed a little pick-me-up.
She needed a little shopping spree because she also spent more than $400.
Oh, boy.
And things from Target. So the store did refund her for all the purchases she made. I don't know what she bought. And, of course, she's eight, right? She's too young for any charges. Yeah. She did tell the police, though, that she did hit a mailbox.
She's honest.
But nobody was hurt. She wasn't hurt. Nobody else on the road was hurt. So that's the good thing. The parents have not commented
is
yet.
Is it actually taking the family vehicle at 8 years old and driving for 20 minutes or taking the... I mean, she must have had the family credit card. How did she have
had cash. She had
$400 cash?
Yes.
How does an 8-year-old have $400 cash?
She went in mom's purse. I don't know.
Wow.
I don't know.
So nobody's going to condone what she did, but is it kind of impressive that she at 8 years old was able to drive to...
That's why I said the only thing she hit was a mailbox and nobody else was involved or injured. Mm. Pretty crazy. Pretty crazy. This is not crazy. We kind of knew this was coming. Jane's Addiction canceled the remainder of their tour after Perry Farrell assaulted Dave Navarro at Friday's show in Boston. Farrell did share his own apology online, not only to his friends and family, but to the band as well. And he said, "Unfortunately, my breaking point resulted in inexcusable behavior, and I take full accountability for how I chose to handle the situation." Now, the other bandmates released a joint statement, and there said that due to a continuing pattern of behavior and the mental health difficulties of our singer, Perry Farrell, we basically have no choice but to discontinue the current U.S. tour. And they also said that they hope he goes and finds the help that he needs. Now, there was a concert scheduled for Metro Detroit at Meadowbrook.
Right.
So if you had tickets, they can be refunded at wherever you purchased them. If you bought them online, you're going to automatically be refunded for those tickets.
Makes sense.
Yeah. Finally, there is a Michigan lottery club that is now collectively $1 million richer after buying the winning lottery ticket using spare change from bottle and can returns. I can see that.
Yeah.
Use the extra money, buy these lottery tickets. The members of the group, I guess they're all family members, and they've been playing the lottery together for more than 30 years. And this is what they do. They just take all their cans back, use that money,
tickets.
And buy lottery tickets. So now they plan to invest their winnings.
Good for them.
Yeah, great for them.
Well, we're not giving away $1 million.
No.
But you could win $2,000.
Yeah.
Not bad. I really hope we give away $2,000. That would be so much fun. We all know the rules. Super simple. 60 seconds, 10 questions, $25 for each question answered correctly. $2,000 if our contestant gets them all right. And it's all obviously about knowledge, but also about using your time wisely. Mm-hmm. If you don't know an answer, you need to pass. And when there's enough time, we'll get back to it. Who do we got today?
TJ in Inkster. TJ, good morning.
Morning. How y'all doing this morning?
Good. Good. What's TJ stand for?
Terry. Terry Jerome.
Oh, okay.
That's my middle name.
All right. Sounds good. Just making sure you weren't a former offensive lineman calling in.
Oh, you talking about Thomas John?
Yeah!
Yes!
Yes!
Yes.
No, that ain't me. I wish.
Not me.
All right, TJ, are you ready to play?
Yes, I am. I played once before. I only got two before, so hopefully I can do much better.
I think you will, TJ. Your time is going to start as soon as I start reading the first question. Here we go. Who does Michigan State play in football this coming Saturday night?
Pass.
This team won the Stanley Cup in June.
Pass.
This team is in sole possession of first place in the NFC West.
Arizona.
This band had the 1991 hit Losing My Religion.
Pass.
The Pistons traded Chauncey Billups to this team in 2008.
Denver.
Disneyland is located in this California city.
Los Angeles.
Who is the head coach of the USC football team?
Oh, wow. came from Oklahoma. Pass.
She played Daisy Duke in the Dukes of Hazzard movie.
Pass.
Spencer Torkelson played at this college.
Arizona State.
Who currently leads the NFL in receiving yardage?
Man, I did terrible. Well, I knew the first three. I was like, damn it. I just knew as soon as I was like, yeah, it's just, I had a brain fart.
Well,
oh, man.
That's okay. You got two.
You did as good as you did last time. Yeah, so.
Yeah. I knew the Michigan State one right after. I was like, oh, man, come on, dude. It's okay. I appreciate the time.
There you go. Hey, $50.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, TJ.
TJ, we'll put you on hold. We'll make sure we get you paid. It's the Two Grand Slam brought to you by Femininio Law. He had two correct answers for $50. You want to go through it, John?
Yeah, let's do it.
Michigan State, he says he knows it now. Mm-hmm. He should have said it then.
BC.
Boston College, the red bandana game, Saturday night, Chestnut Hill. Who won the Stanley Cup in June?
That would be the Panthers. It's not surprising that people would not be able to pull that one.
No, I feel like a week later, everybody just kind of collectively forgot. Sole possession of first place in the NFC West, not the Arizona Cardinals.
It's the Seattle Seahawks.
Surprisingly. Mm-hmm. Monday night, they come to Detroit in a couple weeks. 1991 hit Losing My Religion.
R.E.M.
Chauncey Billups was traded to the Denver Nuggets. He got that one correct. Mm-hmm. Disneyland is in this California city.
It's very close to L.A.
Yeah.
But it is not L.A. It's mm-hmm. Anaheim.
Who is the head coach of this USC football team? It is someone who was at Oklahoma.
Yes, he came from Oklahoma. I know it. I can see it. Lincoln Riley.
Daisy Duke in the Dukes of Hazzard movie.
This is kind of one you got to have.
Jessica Simpson.
Jessica Simpson, mm-hmm. Yeah. Who doesn't remember that?
12-year-old Jim definitely remembered that it was Jessica Simpson in the Daisy Dukes.
That's your first?
Spencer Torkelson played at Arizona State. And John, I wouldn't have gotten 10. Who leads the NFL in receiving yards?
That'd be a Michigan man. Nico Collins.
You surprised by what he's done in the NFL? I am.
Nico? Not really. I thought he was very underutilized and just didn't have anybody throw him the ball.
So I asked King this question yesterday as we were ending our show, and he got it. And then he said, you know what happened to Collins at Michigan? He got Gaddis'd.
Yeah, no space.
Gaddis became a verb.
Yeah, no space.
Yeah, speed.
Yeah, speed, no space.
His size, man, he is a beast. He's almost like a tight end.
Yeah, and there were times, too, and this is back when Doug and I were standing on the sidelines watching, and I would tell him, I'm like, watch Nico on this one. The Iowa game, they had five turnovers in that game. Not Michigan, but Iowa. And he was a guy that if you had one-on-one, you could just throw the ball up to him and he'd go get, which we have seen in the NFL. We saw it in college. They just didn't do it enough.
Well, Shea could do it sometimes.
Next.
Dan Campbell at 8.
Then we got this weekend.
Yes, we're going by first names on everyone now.
The Shavier.
Well, we should with Alex.
You remember the Shavier?
Yeah.
Okay. 802.
Orgy.
802 is Dan Campbell. We'll check in with the Lions head football coach. 735. That's next. The Tigers. The Tigers, John. Accept it. It's 97-1.
All right, I know that some of you guys have been finding yourself wearing a hat more and more often, or you're turning off your camera on Zoom calls. Well, it's time to deal with your hair loss, and it's time to talk to the guy who wrote the book on it. Literally, Dr. Berkowitz at Michigan Hair Restoration is Michigan's number one hair restoration specialist. And Dr. B will restore your hair and your confidence, just like he's done for thousands of guys over the years. You can go online and read all kinds of Google reviews from his patients who recommend Dr. B, and they all talk about how much younger and more confident they feel after their procedure. Many saying they couldn't be happier with the results, even saying it's the best decision and investment they've ever made. Michigan Hair Restoration also has many more options than just a hair transplant. There's lots of natural remedies, and these therapies keep getting better and better results for his patients. Dr. B has treatment plans that fit almost every budget, and right now, they've got a special you don't want to miss. Call and book your consult and speak to Maria. Make sure you mention 97.1 and you're going to get a complimentary natural hair remedy treatment valued at $1,000 at your consultation. Download Dr. B's Ultimate Guide to Hair Loss and Restoration today at MichiganHairRestoration.com.
Dan Dickerson's call. Tigers win. They're only a game and a half back of a playoff spot. Team of Destiny.
Wow.
John, it doesn't have to make sense. Like, just surrender to the absurdity of it all. The Tigers didn't get a good start from Reese Olson. They got down 4-0 after a grand slam. The Twins had a lead.
Momentum was not in their favor.
You're going, they're going to lose, and the Twins are going to win, and this whole thing's going to unravel. Not this team. Team of Destiny. The Tigers come back, and in that sixth inning, where we just played that highlight, A.J. Hinch used Andy Ibañez as a pinch hitter against a lefty. Wenzel Perez as a pinch hitter, took Kerry Carpenter out of the game. What's he thinking?
He's a magician.
He's pushing all the right buttons. Then they go to the bullpen. It's Bo Brisky, who punches out with a 100-mile-an-hour fastball and then gets the double play ball to get out of the jam.
So you're the Moneyball guy on the show. All right, the guy that looks at all the numbers, dives a little bit deeper, and looks for all of the analytics.
Yeah.
How much of that was just, well, you got excited about that. How much of that is just a gamble? How much of it is backed up by numbers?
Well, the Ibañez stuff is like pretty ironclad at this point. The guy rakes against left-handed pitching, and AJ uses him really well in those spots. The Carpenter-Perez thing. I
right,
mean,
that's more the one.
Yeah, I mean,
Carpenter's been good.
I know, but again, that's the lefty-lefty thing that AJ really does cling to. They want to put these guys in positions to succeed.
Mm. The issue that I was running into is always, you take him out in the sixth, there's going to be another at bat, and now you've burned that one.
You have to make your decision. You're going to make the play right here. You're going to make the push right now. And they tie it up, and then Vierling gives them the lead, and then they hang on to the lead with this hodgepodge of a bullpen.
So last night, I was doing the same thing you were, right? Had the multiple screens going and was paying more attention after the Tigers made the comeback. And then I'm thinking to myself, boy, did they do this too quickly? Is there a chance that in the seventh, the eighth, the bottom of the ninth, like I was still doubting it at that point. Like, this can't be real. And now you wake up this morning, and if you didn't see anything last night, just exactly what Jim described, the Tigers were down 4-0, and the Twins were up 3-0. And then in a matter of a half an hour, in two different cities, the tables turn in favor of the Tigers.
It's a night that goes a long way when you look at the standings.
One and a half.
And that might have been the biggest win the Tigers have had in damn near 10 years, given what was at stake. The Tigers haven't made the playoffs since 2014. Like, that's a gritty, gutty comeback win in a race for a playoff spot in September. That's maybe the biggest win the Tigers have had in nearly 10 years. And if the question is this happening? Are you believing this team of destiny? The Tigers, since Javi Baez got injured, are 16-7. I'm sure that's a pure coincidence, but they're 16-7. They're red hot. The Twins, in the same span, are leaking oil. They're in a tailspin, whatever analogy you want to use. The Twins in that span are 8-15. The Tigers have made up 8 games since August 23rd. It's happening right in front of our very eyes. The Twins are going to blow this, and the Tigers are catching lightning in a bottle, and they're going to capitalize at the right time to make the postseason. As we wake up today, I feel like we have a team that will make the playoffs. To answer my own question, yes, it's happening. This team's going to make the playoffs.
I think it's happening. I did not think it was happening yesterday. I thought they were going to get right there and be within a game or two, probably 2 games heading into the last weekend, where it could possibly happen, but realistically, no. And the tiebreaker was playing a role, a factor in this. I think it's happening now. I think after last night was magical. If people were not paying attention to what was going on, you missed out. They were down 5-1, and it was 3-0 Cleveland. And like John said, it just turned. And to not buy into something's going on here, that typically does not happen. Cleveland had the bases loaded in the seventh inning, I think it was, and they got 2 runs, and you're like, man. And that, you know, the Tigers had chipped away. It was 4-0, then 4-1, and then the Royals added the run, and you're just kind of like, it's not going to happen. And I thought the Royals offense was going to cause the Tigers problems in the series to where the Tigers wouldn't win the series. Now I think they're going to win the series, and it was going to require winning every series the rest of the way to do this. I think they're doing it. This is crazy.
So, okay, let's take it one step further. How much do they do it by? I know it only needs to be one game, but is it by that thin of a margin?
11 to go.
With 11 to go, right? And you're down a game and a half, and you're basically down 2.5 because the tiebreaker goes to the Twins.
It's basically two. It's a half game. I mean, right, if you're tied. Okay. Yeah. So, but either way, you're down effectively 2 to the Twins, but we just got done telling you the Twins are struggling. And you get 3 in a row against the White Sox to close the season. If you're within a game, two games
that's
going to the final series.
Only 3 of the 11.
You know, too.
Scooble's going to pitch twice in the next 11 games. Like, things
those
are really
have been both losses.
Why are you doing this, John?
I'm just playing devil's advocate.
Would you get on board? Would you just do it? Would you just, even if you only half believe it, John?
I want him to. I really want him to. I just don't know. I don't know if I believe in destiny.
So the Twins still have 3 more at the Guardians. Who knows what last night's loss did to them psychologically? Because they did get Correa and Buxton are back in the lineup now. And they let that game just get away from them. You know, if the Tigers sweep the Royals, they're only 2 back of the Royals. Now, we have to mention the Mariners are in play here. They're even in the loss column with the Tigers. They're 1 win behind, so they're half game.
It's because they didn't play last night, yes.
They host the Yankees for 3, so go Yankees, everybody, right?
Yeah, 27 rings and all that stuff.
Sure. I mean, I was sitting there last night, and it's typical, you know, in September, we're watching Monday Night Football, and we had it on, and my boys were in a fantasy clash last night. And I kept turning on the baseball, and I actually could get the Twins and Guardians game, so I was even flipping to that. Monday Night Football was on my back burner last night.
Their center stage. Our baseball team is 1.5 games back with 11 to go. Here's the deal, guys. We have Dan Campbell coming up at 8:02. If you want to talk about the Tigers, you got to get in the next couple minutes here, because then we're going to be into football mode for most of the 8 o'clock hour. I think we got a baseball team worth discussing. 248-539-9797. Your reaction to last night, zoomed out. Take a look at this race. Is it happening? It's 97-1.
Maybe you want to watch some of these great September moments for the Tigers. Maybe you want to watch college football or NFL on just about every night. You could also be doing that at one of the best viewing experiences absolutely built for sports fans. It's located at Circa Resort and Casino. Catch those games, and you got a chance of watching it bathing in one of 6 pools or next to it in a cabana, cozy day bed, a lounge. You can make a reservation for any of those. I keep telling you about Stadium Swim, the 40-foot-tall, high-definition screen, absolutely built for moments just like this. It's 365 days of sports poolside, located at Circa Resort and Casino in downtown Las Vegas, and it's right there on Fremont Street. Stadium Swim, all sports, all seasons. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Tigers win. 1 game closer to the playoffs. Texter says, if you look at the schedules, Minnesota has quite the gauntlet to go through. It's all setting up for Detroit. Ticket Texter says, what's happening is baseball down to its purest form. Sit back and enjoy. In a lot of ways, this is payback for game 163 back in 2009. Where the Twins got in over the Tigers. This is like, hey, 15 years later, objects in your rearview mirror, they're closer than they appear. Here come the Detroit Tigers. Texter says, we need to come up with a nickname for this bullpen. What about Motor Medics? I don't love Motor Medics, but we can put our crack staff on it. And by our crack staff, I mean all of you on the ticket text, 248-539-9797. Texter says, I'm getting the feeling that this team could be the 2011 St. Louis Cardinals. Came back from a larger deficit, not only to get the wild card, but to win the World Series.
I mean, there are some examples of teams coming back from the brink. I mean, look at the Phillies. Fire a manager. Obviously, that's not the case here.
Right.
But they come back from the brink and win a World Series. I'm still not sold on the whole team of destiny and that they actually are going to. Did they possibly dig themselves too deep a hole to come out of it?
John, Twins 8
I know.
And 15 in the last 23. Tigers 16-7.
I want it.
Fast charging. Oh, wrong. Sorry, Dan. Not what makes that so much worse is it's three of them. It couldn't have just been one. No, I wanted to play. Because that's the bit. This is the team of destiny, and I think you just have to accept it. A ticket texter brings up a great point. Says, morning, gentlemen. Correct me if I'm wrong, but when Jim came on board, didn't he rip this team? He had zero faith, and now he's giving John a hard time? Today, he's the one telling John to get on board?
Yeah.
Have a great day. Signed, Denise.
And I want to talk about that. I'm fascinated that John's the least optimistic about this. And John's usually the more positive person around these parts. Why?
I'm just and a little bit more reserved.
Baseball's your second favorite sport.
Yeah. And trust me, I want it. I just, there's so many things that I question, and maybe I just need to stop thinking logically. At some point, if you are going with these group effort days, now I know that those are somewhat lessened by the return of Olsen, by the return of Mize. Now you've got Scooble, Montero, but you go back to the last Scooble starts and we think, hey, if you just win this game with Casey Mize against Kansas City, you can sweep the series because Tarek Skubal's taken the mound. The last two times, that hasn't been the case.
The thing is, you said they're defying logic. It's right. Not common sense.
It's not.
But these things happen in sports sometimes.
I know.
And I feel like you're not enjoying it.
Oh,
and
I'm enjoying it. I'm enjoying every bit of it.
You won't let yourself get caught up in it, though. You are the more reserved of the two of us. Listen, I was documented very, very upset with this baseball team.
Yeah.
I've given up all of that because it's absurd. Because of what Tom said. Because there is no logic to this.
But guys, see, the thing is, and when we did the fake contending thing 2.5 weeks ago, and they are real contending now, right?
Yes.
We did real.
Yes.
I had been watching them play for the couple weeks before that. And you could see this coming together. The way they've been playing since they got all these young guys up there, like Trey Sweeney makes no sense. He was a throw-in in that trade. Okay? He's added better defense at shortstop, has had some really timely hits. Parker Meadows and the record that this team has with him in the lineup, you know, it is reminding me of NC State in 83. And it made no sense, guys. That was the one time in sports where I literally like would look back and say, this makes no sense.
So I guess here's part of where like all of these young guys have performed, and I think it's awesome. It's been fun, but they've been able to do it in large part when there wasn't a lot of pressure. Now they have applied the pressure to themselves because they've been playing damn good baseball. Can they continue that for 11 games, or do they buckle under the pressure?
Well, last night, the reason I am now thinking this is actually going to happen because I thought the Royals would probably win 2 out of 3. I thought their offense has given us fits. They actually lit up Scooble earlier in the year. Bobby Witt hits a grand slam, the guy that we can't have because the one year we didn't draft high enough.
Yeah.
You know, and it just was fitting the script. And then all of a sudden it changed with Colt Keith's home run. And it's just, this is a... Like, they put the runs up when they had to. You know, it's like they win the 1-0 game, which made no sense on where they almost, I think, made history with a perfect game with a bullpen start.
Right, with a group effort day.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, they're doing what they need to do in each game. It's crazy.
So when we had AJ on, I think, a month ago, we asked if there was a turning point. Because to Tom's point, things were starting to turn. And we had brought up the Williamsport game, and he kind of agreed, didn't want to pin it down to any one thing. He brought up Williamsport unprompted when we had him on last week. So it does feel like you can trace it all the way back to when it was the call-up of Jace Young and a bunch of these young guys, and call them kids, young baseball players who don't know what they don't know, who can just go out there and play free, play loose. You talked about pressure. For as much as you and I and everybody wants them to change a rotation this way and make this call-up and do... AJ, this is very intentional. He's trying to limit the amount of pressure on these young guys. And in addition to the moves he made last night in the sixth inning, the moves he's made in the bullpen during this run, there's something about the psyche of a clubhouse that he should also get credit for in this,
too. Yeah, but when we talked to Tarek Skubal, he was like, yeah, we know what's going on.
Yeah.
I mean, they see it. They don't need to hear it from the manager. He can try and tamp down the excitement and the pressure all he wants. but what's going on in the mind of these young players?
Ticket Texter says, crazy to think Bly Madris is going to get a World Series ring.
Or who was the other one? Was it Bucky or Bubba or
Buddy Kennedy?
Buddy.
Oh yeah. I'm going to be most happy for Sammons. He pitched some very important innings when they were starting to get back to this in mid-August.
Yeah.
Stan in Shelby Township. Stan, good morning. You're on 97.1.
Hey, good morning, guys. Thank you, Jim, for taking my call. Jim, you've been nice enough. We've chatted on X and stuff too. That, you know, my whole thing is I love September baseball. After that, you just got to get lucky. But shortly after the trading deadline, I brought up that I called you up and I said, gee, you know, these guys could win 2 out of 3 and that they, you know, we could get this great September baseball and it could be reminiscent of the 22 Lions. And I also brought up, I said, you know, every year AJ's been here, he's had a better second half of winning record than, you know, the first half. And, you know, you rightfully so, well, it said, let's see what happens. Well, we're here and it's a beautiful thing. And I'm curious, you know, with your wanted two strikes against Scott Harris, do you think his trade for Flaherty, for Sweeney, or the premonition he had to sign Colt Keith early, does that take away any of those two strikes?
I think the Flaherty trade was a necessary trade, and I think Sweeney was a really nice pickup. Lorenzo's supposed to be the bigger pickup. He's still in the minors.
Oh, you bet.
And as far as the two strikes go, I think if they make the playoffs, we do a classic Miguel Cabrera appeal down to first. Was it a strike or was it a ball? And upon further review, he would not be in an 0-2 count. Scott Harris would be in a 1-1 count. Got to make the playoffs. Because if they miss by 2 or 3, then I can do the whole, well, you should have signed Chapman. That would have been worth 4 or 5 wins. And
oh, if
I was right, and then I'm smarmy. And I don't think that's what anybody wants.
So you're not willing, even at this point, that they've been able to fight back into the team of destiny and the fact that they're this close to take back a strike?
Well, if they miss the playoffs, they're not the team of destiny. And they should have added the bat that I yelled about back in February.
Oh,
and I was proven right. I mean,
oh, man. You're painful.
Is that unfair? Let me know if that's unfair. We got to get to Dan Campbell. We'll talk to the Lions head coach. It's next. It's 97.1.